All right, let's go ahead and read. Does someone want to volunteer to read verses? They're not too many. There's like five or six here. Does someone want to chapter 3, verses 17 through 4, verse 1? That would be great.
I've got it.
Go ahead, Carol.
Brethren, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
Thanks, Carol. Great job. You come through loud and clear. All right. I'm going to share screen. Hopefully some of you have the outline for our discussion. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read here. What I'm going to share here with this little passage is a little, I think I'm right, but there are other scholars that would go another direction, so I'll be honest about that, but I want to jump in. This is very truthful. This is very much the background of this little city. Philippi was a Roman colony. And it's likely that many of the local people in that area of northern Greece saw Rome and the colonial administration. In 42 BC, so this is about 100 years before this letter is written, and before Paul came to the area, Philippi was the setting for one of the great battles in the Roman Civil War that had broken out after the death of Julius Caesar. The two victorious generals, Antony and Octavian would become the future Emperor Augustus, had found themselves with a lot of soldiers in northern Greece with nothing more to do. So what do you do with a bunch of soldiers and you're done? What do? You retire them and they relax. They certainly didn't want to bring them all back to Rome or even to Italy. It would be dangerous to have thousands of soldiers suddenly arriving in the capital. Instead, they gave them land in and around Philippi, this little town, making it a colony of Rome. Now, I kind of did a lot. That's nice information. But how would 100 years later, how would those people in Philippi actually see Roman influence? So I want to show you tangibly, if you were living around Paul's day, how is Rome still very powerful? Well, here you go. Most citizens would have been retired soldiers. So the majority of the citizenry in that town are retired soldiers, and the time it took to retire was 21 years. What do you guys think? Any military? We had Veterans Day. Is that 21 years sound? 21-year career, and then you get to retire? That's the way it worked in Rome. Roman dress was worn. Roman magistrates governed them, and the Latin language was spoken. Roman justice was followed, and Roman morals were in place. So this is a real colony. So when Paul's heaven, and from it we await a Savior in the Lord Jesus, how do you think this would have been received by those people in the city? Any thoughts? So Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Everyone in that city is waving Roman flags. How would that have been received? You think it would have been received okay?
Yeah.
Okay. John says, yeah. Ken Iverson says, no, probably not. Not so well.
I'm thinking that they probably feel they're retired and it isn't important.
That's good. Okay. So, the traditional way to understand this passage, it's oftentimes spoken of in funerals and in discussions at church is that this passage is talking about kind of leaving earth, that someday we'll actually leave earth and we'll be citizens of heaven, not of our local area, right? Is that, probably you've heard that preached a billion times before. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about, actually. I want to offer a suggestion here, and it could help us for today's living. These people that were living in Rome, they viewed Philippi as a colony of Rome. And so if ever there was trouble in Philippi, they knew they could actually go to Caesar in Rome for help. Ooh. To come in and solve their problems, this sort of thing, right there in Philippi. I think what Paul's talking about here when he says citizenship in heaven is that the Christians there in Philippi have a true Lord and Savior, not so that they can flee and go live with him in heaven, but so that right there in their city, in Philippi, they can go to their Lord, Jesus, and he can help them right there, right now, in their present situation. See how those two thoughts are different?
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that oftentimes what I hear people when they talk about the Bible or talk about heaven is that it's an escape away from this terrible world. And we have lots of hymns that speak to this. Heaven is my home. How many of you know of this hymn in the Lutheran church? Do, 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 do. Heaven is my home. Earth is this terrible place. Heaven is my home. If you listen to the verses of that hymn, that's kind of what it's saying. That is not Christian teaching. Certainly, we love heaven. It's a wonderful place. But what we have is that we have a Lord. We have an emperor. We have a king in Jesus who can help us now with our present problems right where we live here today. So I think that's what Paul's talking about in this little passage is you got to help right now, right here. What are the dangers? You know, in my, this passage often been cited as a place encouraging escapism. What I mean by that is that earth our present life is a really tough situation. And one day God's going to allow us to escape a better place, which heaven is a better place for sure. But it is the idea that life on earth is so bad that we can't wait until the day that when we go to heaven and get away from it all. Have you heard anyone express this? Let's pause there. Anyone ever kind of express those thoughts about earth and how things are going? I've heard it just in talking to not our members, but people in the community that they just can't believe the things that are going on and they just can't wait till they had, you know, they can't wait till 2021. Anybody heard something like that? You know, we are all fatigued and tired. There's no doubt with what is happening. Anyone kind of expressed that thought, boy, I just can't wait till it's all over. We can leave this year and leave this time behind.
Well, the leaving, I can understand. Getting there, a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did Paul say? I can't quote it, but I thought he said he would rather leave this place way back when. So, but how does that finish? Because he stayed around, obviously.
Yeah, no, Paul does say earlier that we studied, yeah, he's kind of has this dual approach. If I stay, I gain. But if I leave, I go to be with the Lord. They're both kind of win-win.
What's wrong with that?
I think that's right. Yeah. But I think heaven is, we want to think of heaven as a good place. I'm not saying it's not, of course it's a wonderful place. But I think Paul throughout this letter is saying there's things that can be done right now here, right where you're living, Philippi. And so there's danger when Christians can think, I just need to leave this place. There's nothing more I can do. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
His idea here was that Philippi would be more a colony of heaven than a colony of Rome. That's the blank there.
Okay.
So I think he's kind of saying, in other words, heaven can come down and live right there in that little town. So anyway, I want to share, I'm going to plug my sermon. It's a shameless plug. You're not supposed to plug your own stuff, but I'm going to do it here. In my sermon today, I mentioned, and I have to give credit to Dave Jackson from the from Friends of the Family. He gave me this image, and it's one I'm holding with me, and I share it in the sermon. There was a cellist in Sarajevo back when that city was being laid siege. And he saw it was a terrible time. The siege of Sarajevo lasted 3.5 years, and many people were killed. They lived in isolation and great fear, Sarajevo. This cellist was overwhelmed with grief and loss and all the isolation. And so he decided to do the one thing that would be helpful, that could bring a little piece of heaven into this war-torn area. At a place where 22 people had been gunned down, like maybe a week before, this cellist took his cello and went out for 22 straight days and played his cello in the middle of a town square that had the potential of shots being rung out, you know, people running in the streets, very difficult. So he took an approach like what we're talking about, and that is a taste of heaven right in the midst of where we're living. Instead of packing up and living in his room and waiting for the day in which things will get better. So I just want to show you a picture of this cellist. Well, there's a picture too of the cello. But here's the guy. This is a true story. Go ahead and look it up. It's from the 1990s, 1992, 1993. His name's Vedran Smiljevic. He literally would just go down, see the rubble. He'd just go down to war-torn places that had just been bombed out, and he would just go in and just play a beautiful, beautiful piece of music to bring beauty into a situation. I want to pause on that. Any thoughts on that or any questions? That's Vedran Smiljevic with his cello, and he'd go in these places that were just absolutely ruined, and he would just play music. He did it for 22 straight days.
I've seen that picture before. Was that in the newspaper, or did Dave show it? At the Rotary presentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Vedran.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah, so let's pause here for a second. Are you guys seeing examples of beauty around you?
Yes. Yes.
Can you share some things?
Things which have happened recently, that the leaves all left the trees, they got swept up and taken away. I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah.
I call that a nightmare. Breaking the
Well, I was a farmer.
Yeah. Actually, it was pretty fun raking. We've done a lot of raking at our place. You're totally right, though. Those leaves are something else. And we have great leaves this year. Anybody else seeing beauty in the midst of kind of lots of challenges? So I took a moment and wrote down some things I just want to share with you in our congregation that I see. Our praise team, Rick's on the call here. Our praise team meets every Friday, and they just got a beautiful blend of voices, and there's a lot of beauty in just hearing them sing. I get to hear it, and, you know, so that's something that kind of brightens my day to see that beauty. I would like to share that Lindy Young in our church is just an amazing bright spot for our community. Lindy leads the Philomath Rotary. They're very active. Lindy had an approach that was just amazing, which was to encourage all members of our Rotary to go out and eat at two restaurants the next 6 weeks. So, in other words, she's a bright spot, shining a light into a situation. You know, Peggy Krueger this week organized meals, helped organize meals for Kathy Barrett. and her health challenges, that, you know, that's kind of using that talent, that imitation that you received from your mother to shine a light. Thank you, Peggy. And, you know, I could name a whole bunch of things, but I would also say Merv Munster has a gift of teaching. Of Merv Munster and Suzanne Neely, both members of our church, they're reaching kids in a very amazing way, using the light that they have to shine. If you watch our online service today, Merv Munster shares a children's message, and yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, really good. Suzanne,
Pastor, I think the signs that the Philomath put up, I think that was maybe the council, was really encouraging too. I think they've taken them down, but drive down Main Street, it gave you kind of uplifted some positive thinking.
Yeah, so I don't know if any of you saw that, but Peace was thanked for that in the paper with good words from the mayor. So in a time of a lot of conflict, what we decided to do was to point people to more positive words and positive messages as they drove up and down the city of Philomath. This exact concept of being beautiful in a very ugly time. And so I think our during this time, even though we're not living the way we'd like to live,